I'm grateful that you'll do this.
Thank you.
Okay. Apparently, I was a little bit too ready and got started before Alicia realized that we were taping, but now we're both ready. And here we are. It is our Thanksgiving episode. Cue the turkeys. Gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble.
Do they really make like a sound that is identifiable?
The edits will add that in. I'm grateful to you that the edits will add in the turkey noises.
Well, welcome to the Rolling Forward podcast.
I'm Dr. Stephanie Rowland.
I'm Dr. Alicia Rowland.
I'm a psychiatrist.
And I'm a pediatrician.
We are both part-time clinicians, part-time researchers, and this podcast is where we try to help you make sense of some of the health noise that's happening around all of us right now.
As always, this is not medical advice. It's information to help you talk with your own clinicians who know you and your kids best.
And since it's Thanksgiving week, add those turkey noises.
Gobble, back. Gobble, gobble. I just don't know if there's like a recognizable turkey. Like you hear a sound being like, oh, that's clearly a turkey.
So it is Thanksgiving week. This tends to be the most chaotic travel week of the year. It is fun, but also there's a lot of stress. So we're going to talk about something that is this integral part of Thanksgiving that seems really simple, but it's actually really complex when we think about it in terms of the brain and development and kids, and that is gratitude. Gratitude.
Because gratitude isn't just being thankful. It's not compliance. It's not say thank you, even though you don't like it.
Say thank you to your tati for the new socks. It's not that.
She likes her new socks.
She actually does love the socks. The reason that we're talking about this is that gratitude is a neuroscience topic. It's a developmental topic. It's a mental health topic. And it has some really strong research behind it.
So today we're going to break down, one, what gratitude does in the brain, two, how kids develop gratitude, three, what does the research actually show, four, what doesn't work, and five, science-backed ways to help build gratitude this week.
And beyond. Da-da-da-da!
To infinity and beyond!
So let's get started.
Let's do it.
So let's start with the brain. Gratitude activates the medial prefrontal cortex, which is your emotional regulation hub.
This is the part of the brain that sort of helps regulate all the other activity. This is the part of the brain's frontal lobe, which is responsible for high-level executive function, like planning, decision-making, and personality. So gratitude activates that part of the brain and also lights up a different part of the brain known as the ventral tegmental area. And this is the reward center. And that's why gratitude, it literally feels good. It's like dopamine in a healthy way.
It also lowers sympathetic nervous system activation, so your stress hormones drop.
Remember that sympathetic nervous system, that's the fight or flight. So by lowering the fight or flight response that you're having, that's why your stress is lower. And one of my favorite studies shows that gratitude activates this other part of the brain known as the periaqueductal gray. You may have heard that. You may not have heard of that. What's important to know is that this is a region of the brain that is associated with bonding and caregiving. So gratitude activates this, and this is essentially the biology of I feel connected to you. I feel bonded and I'm a caregiver.
Gratitude is relational, not individual. It's not, I like my life. It's someone helped me, cared for me, gave me something today.
And what's important to know about gratitude is we just talked about all these different parts of the brain that gratitude activates, things like the reward center, things like the bonding center. And because of neuroplasticity, which is this idea that neurons learn and grow, what that means is that practicing gratitude is going to strengthen these pathways over time, which is why even doing a few minutes of gratitude a day really does make a measurable difference over weeks and months.
So in adults, gratitude has been shown to improve sleep, reduce depressive symptoms, and even lower inflammatory markers.
And ready for one of my favorite studies? Some of that improvement in inflammation and reduction in depression, that can really last for months even after a simple act of gratitude. And they have shown that writing a gratitude letter will boost your well-being for up to 3 months, even if you never send it. Even if you never send it! So you write this letter, you think you're going to get a stamp later at the postal office. It never happens. And then, despite not sending the letter, there's really a boost in gratitude that lasts for a few months.
For kids, full gratitude doesn't really appear until age 7 to 9.
Which is really interesting, because before that, they'll show appreciation, the thank you part, but they don't really get the full cognitive chain of somebody did something for me with intent at some cost to themselves.
But once they start understanding gratitude, they really see a benefit. And so for teens, gratitude is linked with lower anxiety, better emotional regulation, and stronger school engagement.
And families who practice gratitude together, they tend to have fewer conflicts and a higher feeling of belonging. And here is something else that I love. Gratitude increases emotional granularity.
Meaning?
So, emotional granularity. What this means is that when you name something specific that you are grateful for, your prefrontal cortex, that control center of your brain, engages more deeply and your stress response decreases.
So instead of saying, I'm grateful for my family, say, I'm grateful you unloaded the dishwasher when I was tired, but I am really grateful when you unload the dishwasher, even when I'm not tired.
And kids respond especially well to this. The more specific that we model gratitude out loud, I'm grateful that you put your jacket away today after school without me asking. It hasn't happened yet, but if it does in my household, I will be grateful. Then the more that their own brain will build the circuitry for it.
And do you know what the biggest predictor of gratitude is in kids?
Tell me.
How often parents express gratitude out loud, not how often we ask kids to do it.
That's so funny because we are like, say thank you, do this, write a letter. But it sounds like what's actually most important is doing it ourselves and modeling that behavior that we want them to understand and appreciate.
Apparently it's do as I do, not as I say.
So I think this is a really good moment to talk about what doesn't work.
So telling your kids, say thank you, doesn't build gratitude.
What does it build?
Compliance.
That so makes sense. And another thing that really doesn't work is saying, you should be grateful other kids have it worse, because that builds
shame.
Not thankfulness.
Gratitude should never be used to override what a child is feeling and their real emotions.
So if a child is disappointed that they didn't receive a toy that they wanted or that a particular family member that they love didn't arrive, instead of saying, you should be grateful you got all these other toys or all these other family members are here, that's going to build shame. It's not going to teach them gratitude. Instead, it's validating that emotion in the moment and modeling compassion.
Because you can feel all sorts of emotions at a time. You can feel stressed and grateful. You can feel tired and appreciative.
And kids are going to learn gratitude more easily when all of these emotions are allowed in the room at the same time. So if we tell them they can't be upset because they should be grateful, they won't understand that often these emotions can coexist and we can be sad and grateful at the same time.
So here's a list of science-backed things that families can try this week to help build gratefulness.
Let's get going.
Number one. The 10-second pause.
What is this?
Before a meal, pause and name one specific thing someone did that helped you today.
And this is a callback to the science that shows that the more specific that you are, the more helpful that this is. Number two, build in a practice of gratitude noticing, which means ask kids directly. Maybe you can do this at the end of the day. What is something small someone did today that made your day easier? And it's going to build that relational thinking of understanding how other people's actions are impacting us.
And how your actions might impact other people.
It's so nice when you come up as the person that they're grateful for. I've gotten that in our family's evening gratitude routine. Sometimes it's me and it feels great. A lot of times it's not me. But it's really interesting and fun to hear what kids notice and are grateful for during the day.
Number three, savor certain moments. Think about a positive moment that happened in your day for 10 to 20 seconds. This can deepen the memory and improve that connection to the reward system in your brain.
So maybe your family member brought the most delicious dish. I have a friend who brings this pie with the melted marshmallows on it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
And you have another friend that brings mac and cheese.
Both the mac and cheese, melted pie, are favorite parts of Thanksgiving. And so as a family, something that we could do is just at the end of the day say, hey, aren't we so grateful that Tati so-and-so brought this dish? Let's all take a moment and just think about how delicious that was.
Yum, 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 yum.
Another thing that you can try is a gratitude circle so that you can share as a family things that you're grateful for, because kids are going to learn more from hearing people around them practice gratitude than from being commanded to express their gratitude.
Reflecting back, that kids are more likely to practice gratitude when they hear their parents practice gratitude.
One way that we've done this in my family is that at the end of the day, everyone's in bed, the teeth are brushed, the books have been read, we're really at that wind down of the day. We all try to share one thing, one specific thing that we are grateful for that day. And instead of calling on the kids in our family to say what it is that they're grateful for, my husband and I start by sharing what we are grateful for. And everyone chimes in with what they'd like to share that day.
Number five, building benefactor awareness. Ask, who made this possible? And this is a cognitive step that really develops around age 7 to 9, and it helps kids understand that other people are responsible for acts that can make their life better.
And number six, don't use gratitude in a way of controlling a child's behavior. So don't say, if you're grateful, you'll behave. If you're grateful, you'll do this. This is setting up that dichotomy of gratitude not being allowed to coexist with other emotions. It can feel very controlling to children. And instead of saying things like that, say, I'm grateful for you because, and be specific about what it is. And even after a long day, and we're going to have some long days over this holiday season, I'm sure all of us as daycares and schools close. And with that, although there may be hard moments, there are also going to be these beautiful, special moments of connection. And sharing our gratitude for those moments with our kids is the best way that we can model that. We want to close by reminding everyone that gratitude, it's not a personality trait. We all know those people who are able to practice gratitude with such grace, and it seems really impressive. And maybe you're like me and you're like, I just can't do that. But the reality is that the gratitude, it is not a personality trait. It is a skill, and it can be built.
It helps shape kids' brain. It strengthens family. It lowers stress, and it can improve your mental health.
So this Thanksgiving, start by trying something small. Turn to your sibling and say, I'm grateful that you came to my apartment to tape this podcast episode so I didn't have to put on any socks.
And I'm grateful for everyone that is listening.
We are very grateful to all of you. And by sharing one specific moment, one specific thank you that is said out loud, that is the way to build a gratitude practice.
And so that's our episode for today. And we'll be back next week to talk more about brains, kids, surviving modern life, changing policies.
Everything that's happening all around us.
Actually, it might be 2 weeks because someone is going on vacation.
Maybe I'll just make you do the whole episode by yourself. I'll call it in.
I will be grateful if that doesn't happen.
So share this with a friend if you have found it helpful. Share it with a family member. Leave us a 5-star review. Send us an email at rollinforwardshow. That's rollinforwardshow@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
And that's it for today. I'm Dr. Alicia Rollin.
I'm Dr. Stephanie Rollin.
Thanks for listening. We're grateful for all of you and happy Thanksgiving.
Rolling forward, Dr. Sister Science Facts.
Okay. I thought it was
so let's get started.
I thought it was going to be like a turkey blah, 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 but apparently it was not.